Welcome to the Media Ministry of Crossroads Church Aspen. To learn more about Crossroads, visit our website at ccaspen.com. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Steve Woodrow.
Hey, we are in the middle, or towards the end, I should say, of our beginning of the year series, Prepare the Way. We've been in 1 Kings chapter 17, 18, and 19, and we've been looking and using Elijah to kind of go, you know, to lead us into a deep discussion on our four values of connect, serve, give, and go. And this morning, we're coming to the go part of that, and we're going to dive in. We'll be in chapter 19 of 1 Kings. We'll be just specifically looking at verses 15 through 18 if you want to open your Bible and follow along with that. I just want to open us, though, as we get into this, on this idea of go and the missional aspect of life and the gospel and what God has done for us, just by giving a sentence. It's not on the screen. Just want you to think about this to lead us into this discussion. Okay? Here it is. Confusion and fear will enter our life if we embrace, if we only embrace God's grace and not God's go. Okay? Confusion and fear will enter our life if we're embracing God's grace without embracing God's go. And what I mean by that statement is just to kind of get us into this discussion about what the gospel is. What is Jesus, when he means follow, when he says follow me, what is that all about? And I think in our culture today, especially in the West, there seems to be this idea that it's, you know, we come to God, you know, for his grace, his help in time of need and all of that. And of course, you know, the greatest aspect of the gospel is and the only way the gospel can take hold in our life if we first, you know, come before God humble and realize that we need a Savior to wash our sin, our shame, our guilt. We need God to redeem us and rescue us, right, from our waywardness and our lostness. We can easily just stay in that mode of resting in God's grace without embracing his go, because he saves us, he comes after us, he woos us and longs for us, not just to so he can come and transform us from the inside out. That's where it begins, but he does that so that his life can be lived through us, so that we can be on mission with him, so that we can be light and salt in the world and carry on, right, as the Bible from beginning to end talks about joining God on mission. Folks, our God is a missional God. He's a God on mission. What do I mean by that? Well, the Father sent the Son, didn't he? He sent Jesus to this earth to come after us on mission, to rescue us, to love us, to restore this falling world and this creation. And boy, Lord knows we got all kinds of problems in the world, right? And we also know, if we're history students, we're really honest that, you know what, mankind, we cannot solve our problems. As long as, man, we're going to beat our heads against the wall, history after history, repeating history, repeating our mistakes, you know, one century, millennia after another, right? Until man understands this, we need God. And that happens inside the human soul, to come in first and fix me first, right? And that fix is not just a simple fix. It's something I couldn't do on my own. It's a radical new life, a new creation. It's God entering into our soul. It is us, God, reconnecting us with our Creator, with his heart, in intimacy and in fellowship, right? But I think what happens is, much in the church today, is that we just kind of easily move into a realm, and I know in my own life there's been definitely seasons of this, just where I get stuck just kind of myopic about me. God, here's my, bless this. This is what I want to do. God, here, you know, I need this. I need that. You know, I need your grace over me. And of course, that should be a daily exercise of us going to God. But it's easy just to leave it at that and not also embrace God's go. God, what do you have for me? Well, what does mission look like today? What is it today that I need to hear from you, God? What is it today I need to do for you, God? Lord, here are my plans. This is what I have, right? But what do you have for me, God, right? This is the grace of God and the go of God. Folks, the early service, we had a bunch of young folks in here, and I know just from working with single adults for years and college students that, one of the top, desired questions for all of us is, what is God's will for my life? How do I know what His will? How do I know God's direction for my life? How do I know that I'm in that, Lord, that I'm accomplishing what God has for me? How do I know that in my life, God's purposes? And folks, remember, God has created you, uniquely you, in all the universe. And He has a very specific plan. He's a loving Heavenly Father. He has good things for us. And He wants to come into our heart, and He wants this relationship, right, to be something that accomplishes things for His purpose, that accomplishes eternal things in the midst of our daily routine, in the midst of life, right, here on earth. But also, we know that in our lives, and I can share from my own lives, it's easy, isn't it, just to get into a wilderness time. It's easy just to get into a funk. It's easy just to get into a place where we kind of wake up one day and just, how did I get here? How did life get me here? How am I in this place? Why am I here? And one thing's for sure is that life gets busy, doesn't it? And there's no way to avoid that crashing into reality. At some point in all of our lives, there's going to be a wake-up call. And it could be 1,000 different things that get us there, but we all know that life gets busy. And we can get all busy about certain things, our vocation, our school, certain relationships, certain endeavors, certain, whether it's building businesses, whether it's getting a college education, whether it's getting through our work, climbing the ladder, just go down the list, right? And one thing is for sure, is along the way, and multiple times in the seasons of life, we're going to have a wake-up call. And I think everybody here knows what I'm talking about. It might just wake up one morning and just we're hit with, why am I here? Well, how did I get to this place in life? And we'll wake up and also say, wow, I'm 54 years old. What happened? Right? I say that. But folks, God is intimately concerned about the details and the direction of our lives. The question is, are we inviting Him in? Are we developing ears to hear His go for our life? Right? Not just the grace of God, but the go of God. Remember, to follow Jesus is not just receiving Jesus for His salvation and His redemption. It's also embracing the whole cause of Christ. It's embracing Jesus' mission for the world. And how does God carry out His mission? How does God expand His love? And who He is, He's chosen to do it through His people. He's chosen to do it through His church. He's chosen to do it through our individual lives and all the spheres of our influence, our families, our communities, our workplace, on and on and on. He's called us to be the light, right, and the salt in the world. And so I want to use Elijah here because Elijah here in chapter 19, and those of you who have been with us, and hopefully you've been diving into these three chapters, we know that Elijah, he's towards the end, here into 19, he comes to a place where he is desperate in his life for the go of God. And folks, I believe many of you are here this morning, and you're in a place in your life, it could be a wilderness, it just could be a transition, it could be something, but there's a sense of God, I need to hear clarity of why am I here? What's the next step? What's the next direction for me? Some of us have never even developed that. I believe there's many in the church today, oh, they love Jesus and they're following Jesus, but you know what? It was embrace the grace of Jesus. I'm in. I'm a Christian. I believe the Bible. I study the Bible. I get all this knowledge, but have never really woken up to learn how to hear the voice of God and know that what my steps are, that the older I get, the more I draw close to Jesus, the more embracing His mission, and the more I have clarity on where I'm at. I'm there because God led me there. And folks, there should be this growing sensitivity to the voice of God in our lives, in a greater assurance. Now, this doesn't mean there's not going to be, as we see even Elijah's life, some disappointment, right? And some wilderness time for God to strengthen us and draw us close to Him, that wake-up call, right, that we can lean into Him. And remember, when God meets Elijah in this place, a little background for those that weren't with us, but remember, God used Elijah in ancient Israel. He was one of the key prophets in the Old Testament to be God's word to the people of God and to wake them up, to shake them out of their complacency and their following their own lives and the culture around them rather than honoring God and listening to God for His direction and blessing in their life. Elijah is faithful, and remember the Mount Carmel experience we talked about last week where God brings this huge supernatural pouring out. And Elijah, in his mind, he expected God to do something. He expected he laid it on the line for God, and he expected the results of that to be a certain way. And when that didn't happen, Elijah takes off in fear, right? And he hides himself under a broom tree, and he pouts, and he asks, my life's not worth living, and he just starts complaining to God. And folks, we've all been there. And if there's anything that shuts down the flow of God's clarity in our lives, and man, have I been there through this journey, but it is coming to a place where I start contemplating a lot. I start questioning God. Folks, the life of faith is faith. It means that I don't know what is going on. God is always at work, and a lot of things I just can't figure out, but what it means is that, Jesus, I trust You in everything in my life, and I'm going to stand and step out in that trust on You, and I'm not going to question Your heart. I know, God, You've got good things for me. And this is looking at everything, even the things that have happened in my past and things moving forward. But if I start to question God, why did this happen? God, if You're a loving God, how could this have happened to me back there in my life? Disappointment with God. God, I've gotten here this far and You didn't pull through. This just didn't happen and on down the line. If I move into that place, I'm in a dangerous place. And I shut off the flow as such, right? I shut off communion with God, and I'm in a dangerous place with my soul because I start contemplating lies and I start contemplating things in my heart, right? Just like Elijah did. God, You didn't do what You were supposed to do. We've all been there. Right? And many who haven't received Jesus, many who are just kind of checking things out, right? That's the big deal. Well, if God was a loving God, how could He allow all this evil to happen? Well, and who made You the great authority, right? Maybe there's a bigger thing going on here. What about my evil? I start to ask, why do I have a tendency to not love people, right? Well, why all the evil in the world is called sin? It's called my selfishness and everybody else's. And when that selfishness is not reined in and transformed, you know what? It can create, because I know I've created some messes, right? And all around the world, there's messes. And there's a loving God who sees that, and He has sent His Son to rescue, to cover, to provide the only real answer for all that mess. And it's a free gift. It's a grace of God, nothing like it in all the world. And what He wants is that grace of God to come and start a transforming work inside our souls, right? And then the next thing is because He's redeeming us so that we might be a part of His grand plan. Now, we're in fellowship with Him, and this glorious God now has a place to speak into our soul because His Spirit is in fellowship with my spirit. Now I can have a real relationship with God, a real prayer life, to have His Word come alive personally to me in my life. And I'm on mission with God. Now life is put before God, and there's a great expectation to know, my God, He's got good things for me. And folks, when we journey with God, life becomes adventurous and glorious, 1,000 times more than when we try to force it right ourselves. Elijah's in this place. Remember, he under a broom tree, and God takes him on a journey. Elijah knows he needs to just have it out with God. And folks, we see this over and over. Look at the story of Job. Go on down the line, right, of anyone we see in the Scripture. And God is so gracious. And folks, as I read this, I know my own life. Wow, sometimes I just look at God when I'm complaining and about to God or whatever it may be, and I just think, Lord, how patient You are with me. man, how patient he is, how loving it is. Patient with us and loving. And look how he is patience with Elijah. I mean, even after Elijah did this incredible supernatural thing, is that he should have stepped back and go, well, God, that's not how I saw the end of this thing going, the results of this big showdown, but man, you're in charge. You're in charge. And we'll see if we have time in this passage. God is always at work. You know that, folks? Even when you don't think he is, you know what? He's at work in people's lives, in communities, in nations. He is working. And he's working in people's souls. And a lot of the time, we just, you know, until we get an open door, you know, such from the heavenly realm into that, we just don't know what he's up to. And so to presume on him what he should do is just the epitome of pride, isn't it? The very thing that separates us from God, right? Rather than a faith which says, God, I step in, I trust you. You know, give me wisdom, speak to me. And so with God's patience for Elijah, he takes him on this incredible journey, 40 days to the wilderness to Mount Horeb. And God meets him there, right? Not in the earthquake, not in the wind, not in the fire, but in that gentle voice. We're going to come back to that, the power of what it means to really listen to God. How do we discern his voice, right, in our life? And in all that, God comes to Elijah with those two big questions. Elijah, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Why are you here? And folks, I think God is asking that in each of our own personal lives more than we'd ever imagine. Steve, what are you doing here? Why are you here? In this time, in this place in your life, why are you here? Right? And so, you know, what is God doing there with those? And he asked the question twice to Elijah. Elijah didn't get it at first, but God is wooing Elijah back to him. Trust in me, Elijah. I got this. You just listen to me. You wait on me. You trust me. And I'll bless life and I'll restore the go in your life. And folks, I believe, as I said, many of us in here, myself included, maybe even this morning, you are desperate here this morning. You need clarity in your life of the go. You need God to give you a go, a green light. This is what I have for you. Here's the clarity in your life right now. Here's the steps you need to take. That's called reestablishing the go of God right inside our life. And that can't happen outside of embracing his grace and walking in that grace. So this is what happens, verse 15, and says that the Lord said to him, to Elijah, go now, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi you shall anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abelah, whatever it is, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place, and the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death, and the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elijah put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. Wow. I don't have time this morning to break all that down. I just say go explore it yourself, but I just want to point out a couple huge things. Remember what Elijah was complaining about? But God, I'm the only one left. Nobody's faithful here anymore. The last verse 19, what God is powerfully saying to his prophet Elijah is, Elijah, I'm at work. What you can't see, there is going on some amazing things in people's lives. I have 7,000 where I'm working in their hearts. They are faithful to me. You might not see them now, but I've got great plans, right? I'm at work always, even in places you wouldn't even imagine. You know, we get it all the time here. Oh, I never thought there'd be a church in Aspen like this. You know, we're like, hey, we take that for credit, you know, or for as a compliment, right? The other thing is, folks, this is, what is this go to Elijah? First, he's to go and he's to have an impact among the nations around Israel. Second, he's to have an impact in his own nation. Third, he is called to disciple and mentor someone to take his place. All of those things Jesus emphasized for his church and wrapped them up in the Great Commission and other things. You, church, when you receive my grace, you're going to be my witnesses in what? Jerusalem, Judea, right? Samaria, the next, and then to the ends of the earth, right? And that's not just for some super spiritual people. That's for anyone who loves God. As the love of God overwhelms our heart and we're transformed, you know what? We get more of God's heart, which means we get more of God's love for his people. Not just our people in our home, in our community, in our church, but God's people, the people around the world. Is an expanding heart for the purposes of God. This is what the go of God is all about. The grace of God was not just there, right, to bring me out of the pit and to get my soul all healthy. The grace of God was there to heal me, to get me going, right, with God's purposes and his plan and his call in my life. And so with that said, because I want to get Rick and Colleen up here, I just want to, I think these are on the screen, give you three just questions. Hopefully you'll take these and just take some time with the Lord and really ask him to reestablish the go, right, the missional aspect of your life. The first one is, are we being mentored, discipled, and who are we mentoring so that they can better join God's mission? Man, you know what we say, we need someone to just come alongside us, right, and pray with us and to open the scriptures to us, show us what this life looks like. How do I do this? How do I lay hold of God's promises, get his abundance in my life? And this is how Jesus did it. He did it relationally. All right, we're to journey alongside each other. He commands us to go make disciples, right? To pour in, to love other people with the word of God. That's the simple definition of discipleship. Just intentionally entering into people's lives, right? And taking time with them to love them, to get focused on them and their story and where they need the grace of God, and to speak into their life the truth of God, right? So that they can become whole and Christ-like and in turn do this to someone else, right? We have so many materials today, folks. We got podcasts, we got books, we got more intellectual stuff to help us understand the Bible than any people in the history, right, of the world. And we should be taking advantage of that stuff, not just, right, to pack our brain, but it needs to become inside our hearts so we can use it to bless other people, right, along the way. Second question, how are we involved in God's mission in our community? What does that look like? Do we even have a missional, what would be my mission, on mission for God today? Do I have that attitude for my home? Do I have that attitude for my marriage, for my kids? Man, what is God doing here? How is he using our home for his greater purposes? Are we inviting the blessings of God into our home? Every day goes by, I pray divine blessings. I have very specific things I pray over our home. And I can tell you that the blessings have come from that, right? Specific missional things, things I pray that, Lord, may these things characterize our home. May these things be over our children, over our marriage, over our physical home. May it be used this way, God. Enter in here, into this thing. Let me, this got it locked up that this is just my little world, right? What about our workplace? It is so important to us. But most of us can enter in, and I've been there, right, where it's just about me. It's about my task, about me getting the job done. It's about me complaining about the whatever, right, all the things that can be complained about. And rather than, boy, do we wake up, Lord, today is an opportunity to shine for you. I am available. One of the most powerful things we can pray in the morning is, I'm available, God. I'm available to be a vessel of blessing today. With my coworkers, my boss, my clients, whoever it is, I'm available to be a blessing. Let me be that light for you, God. Right? And then the final one is, what about the nations? To follow Jesus, nobody is exempt from having a heart as big as the world. I said again, to follow Jesus, nobody's exempt from not having a heart for the world. Not just your family, not just your friends, not just your community, but for the world. And what does that look like? To have a heart for the world. And remember Jesus in Acts 1:8, he gave us that concentric heartbeat. It starts with my heart. God, come in. Give me your heart. And that heart, right, should expand out to the world. And when we open our lives to God to come and to move us from his grace to his go, I'm telling you, that's what Jesus meant by the abundant life. That's where things take off. And I get locked out of this kind of myopic view of life in my world. I let God, I come and partner with God. And that is his longing is God desires you to partner with him. An amazing thought. He wants you. And to sit back and to say, I'm not trained enough, or somebody else is more spiritual, they can do that. No, that's shame. You know that? You know that? That nothing you've done, nowhere you've been, has disqualified you. His grace is adequate to cover everything, and not only cover everything, but make you adequate for any task God has for you. That's the grace of God. That's how vast it is. We see it over and over again, right? In Scripture, right? How about the folks in Jerusalem? Who are these hillbilly Galileans? Who do they think they are? Well, boy, the world is still seeing who they are, right? Because they spent time with Jesus. They were nobodies. Until they spent time with Jesus and they got the heart of God. And these simple fishermen continue to change the world by their faithfulness and the heart blazing and on fire for God and his purposes. Right? Folks, I just ask you, when it's all said and done, and you're going to go through life. Some here are older than I down that journey. Some of you are just kind of freshly starting. But, man, when it comes to the big question, what are you doing here? At the end of the line, really, what do you desire? I mean, isn't it, get to the end of the line, to quote as they say, finishing well, it needs to be, I'm peace with my soul. Man, as Paul said, I have accomplished, God, what you have called me to do. Jesus, John 17, same thing. God, I have accomplished what you've called me to do. Wow. There is nothing more fulfilling. There's no higher state of a mature soul than to be able to state that. Peter got there. Paul got there. We see it throughout Scripture. That's how we grow old, older and bolder, as we talked about last summer, right? Is to get on this track. God, I need to hear you because I want to not waste my life. I don't want to get to the end. And again, we don't know when the end is. I don't want to get there and sit back and go, how did I get here? And I don't want to be left with just some worldly accomplishments that have zero eternity fruit. I don't want to get there. And we can't get there outside of letting the grace of God move us into the go of God. And get to the end and say, Lord, I'm in the zone. I am accomplishing what you've called me to do. And he's got something very unique for each of you. Beautiful. The question is, are we hearing? Are we laying that before him? Are we letting God speak to us and get us there? And I hope that he will do that this morning. I want to just transition. I could go on this topic just because I have been in the desert. And folks, for me, what I know, looking out the window in Houston, Texas, of a corporate nice office, looking over the city and having my arms up in front of that window, looking out over that city and just having it, God might as well have spoken audibly right there with just these questions. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want in this life? What are you going to do with your life? And just a cry, right, to God, Lord, I need clarity. I need your go because I'm feeling numb here. Oh, there's some great things from the world standpoint going on, but man, I need something from my soul, God. I need to hear the goal of God. I need to hear what you have for me. I need to hear that clarity of purpose for my life. It's what he wants for each of us. But just like Elijah, you got to be willing to go there. You got to be willing to get real with God and have him speak into your soul. It begins with the grace of God and it always, we grace on into eternity, right? But it leads us to the go of God, okay? All right, with that said, I just want to bring up two of my favorite folks, and Rick and Colleen, if y'all will come up here. And folks, these two, they deserve amazing honor by our church family, all right? And, do we have the microphone? If you bring that up for them, that'd be great. I'll talk a little bit first. But I got to travel the world with these two. I mean, literally, the world. And somehow I got, detained by Hezbollah, and you guys didn't. I'm not sure how that happened, but we have all kinds of great stories. On the go of God, right? And exploring what this looks like, right? And but folks, I tell you, it's so exciting to see how God's led these two from lives here in Aspen to get a heartbeat Right, for them specifically, it was a God's go was to actually physically go. Okay, and they've been, whether it be Afghanistan, Pakistan, I mean, Malaysia, Middle East, you name it, to bring the love of God. It is the only solution in the world, folks. Do you realize that? Is when somebody's heart is changed. That's the only solution, ultimately. And that happens person on person as love of God is transferred. And right now, there have been almost a year, right, in India?
Year, I think.
Year and a half. And I've been there twice, had the privilege, and folks, it is awesome what is going on. They're leading just a church planting ministry among Muslim Indians. Now, some people say, what, India? India is mainly Hindu, right? Then Muslim, mainly in the north, and then thirdly, Christian. Largest nation in the world right now. I think it surpassed China, or if it hasn't, it's going to soon. They laugh. China knows exactly how many they have. India, you have no idea how many people are in India, right? Nobody does, right? But when you show up, it's like people everywhere. It's unbelievable. And but just to their loving and equipping these young folks that have come out of Islam by the grace of God and who are willing, take their lives, right, sometimes, right, and step back loving their communities and building jamaats, these home churches. And Rick and Colleen, or we as a body, right, are involved. They're equipping these folks to see the church fan into flame. And so I could get excited, but I want you all, different to hear from you. Folks, we'll be back right here at 6 o'clock tonight, some Indian food, and you'll get to hear more details, ask some questions tonight. I highly encourage you to be here. I promise you it will encourage you, okay, tonight. So come back tonight. But right now, maybe just this morning, just share with everybody what you all are doing and kind of excited about at the core of what's the mission there in India right now.
Yes. India is about half the size, land mass size of the U.S., and it has 1.3 billion people in it. 300 million of them are Muslim. The rest are primarily Hindu. America has 300 million people, so there's about the same amount of Muslims in India as there are citizens in the U.S. So we have been called by God to join him in the work that he is doing there. What we do, big picture, is we work amongst Muslims. We work amongst Indian Christians who have left Islam to reach back into their communities, and we come alongside them. We help equip them. We pray with them. We encourage them. We resource them. We train them to plant jamaats amongst their communities, and we train them not only to be, we don't train them to attract Muslims to their jamaats, a jamaat is a church, but we train them to plant churches that will multiply. And I just want to remind you probably of scripture that you're very familiar with. It's out of Acts 4:12, that salvation is found in no other name. For God has given no other name under heaven amongst men by which we must be saved. So whether you're here in Aspen or you're in Glenwood or you're working in the U.S. or you're working amongst nations in the world, what we do is we preach Jesus. We don't preach Christianity. We don't preach church. We don't preach that they become Christians. We just share the name of Jesus. That name is the name amongst the name by which they will be saved. And Muslims are not antagonistic to the name of Jesus. They're antagonistic to the name or becoming a Christian. So this is what we would encourage you to use, is to invite people to know Jesus. That's what we do. And we don't plant churches, we plant jamaats, because the word church amongst Muslims is problematic. So we plant or teach Christian Indians to plant jamaats. Jamaats is a community of people that gather together. We want them to stay in their communities, in Muslim communities, so that the gospel will go out through these communities. So we travel throughout India, and we do three-day trainings in India. That's one aspect of the work that we do in conjunction with Crossroads. And I'll let Rick tell you some other work that we do.
The other thing that we're getting involved with, which we're really excited about now, is a training center that will get started in April. and it will be a training center where some of the young men and women from Muslim communities will come and be trained for 1 year in disciple making and church planting. And there will be classes in Old Testament survey, New Testament survey, bridging from the Quran to the Bible, how to plant jamaats within their own communities, what kind of persecution that they may encounter, as well as how to deal with that persecution, the type of persecution that a lot of our partners are experiencing in their communities. At the most, you know, they may experience death by being attacked and killed. They may just get beaten up. On the easier end of the persecution, they may just lose their jobs. They may be denied water from the community well. They may not be able to purchase food at the stores in their communities. If they grow crops, they may have the irrigation cut off to their crops. So persecution is real, and they need to be prepared to deal with that. But we pray for their strength, that their faith will be strengthened even through the persecution, and we pray that their persecutors will still see the fruit of the Spirit in their lives, even though they're being persecuted, and as a result, that even some of the persecutors themselves will be brought to faith as a result of the strength of faith that they see in the Jesus followers within their own community.
Awesome.
So we're getting behind this training center that's going to be started in April, and it's going to be a wonderful opportunity for these people to come and be trained and then go back into their communities. We don't want to extract them from their communities, because that way, if they stay in their communities, they'll be able to spread the gospel. And we don't want to isolate them from their communities. We want them to go back into their communities, make disciples, plant jamaats, and then have those jamaats multiply from there.
Amen.
So we're excited about that.
Talk to us about team, just a vision for having a team and what that looks like, how to join in that.
As we said, we train, so we travel a lot. A couple of weeks a month we are traveling throughout northern India, 3-day trainings. So we are looking for people to join us either long-term to come and live with us. We live in Delhi, India, and we are looking for people that can come and join us for a year or 2 years. We're planning to live there as long as the Lord will keep us there. You can come and join us for a year or 2 years. That would be long term. Or you can come over for a month or 2 months if you have a break in your schedule. Once you've learned how to do some of the trainings, we could call you and say, can you come for August and join us on our trainings? They're usually 3 days long, and we do a lot of role plays. We do a lot of group activities. Our trainings involve normally about 30 people. They're Muslims that have left Islam, so they are believers. And we're training their leaders that go back into their communities and train other Muslims to reach their communities. They're a lot of fun, the trainings. Once you learn how to do them, you can come over and help us train. We really need help with that. We really are. We're a little bit overworked over there, so we need help on a short-term basis or a long-term basis. And the school that we're getting involved in, if you have the gift of teaching, you can be like an adjunct professor, come over and teach for 2 weeks in some of the classrooms. So there's opportunities for both, and we really do need your help. So please put some prayer to this, and we'd love for you to come just even on a vision for a week or 2 weeks, and see how the Lord leads you in that. And you can stay with us and just experience and see what the Lord leads in that.
That's awesome. So if they can't go physically for one reason or another, though we want everybody to physically go, how else could they be a part of what's going on there?
Well, we can't go unless we are sent. And senders have the opportunity to give financially and through prayer. Financially, you can give to our ministry through the website, or there can be special gifts given towards the trainings that we do. Each training requires about $800 worth of funding to help bring people into the trainings to cover their food costs and their transportation costs. Yeah. Or you can give towards this training center that we're going to get up and started. We've got the funding for the startup costs for the training center, but then we're going to be looking for operational costs for that training center annually, which come to about $10,000 a year to pay for the costs of the 30 to 40 students that we'll be bringing in every year for their food expenses and the costs of the teachers. And you could choose to sponsor a student to come into that training center for the year as well.
Wonderful.
And I'd like to invite you tonight at 6 o'clock, 6 to about 8:30. We're going to show some pictures. We'll be talking a little bit more in depth about our ministry, and we'll be serving some appetizers, Indian food. So we'd like to invite you to come tonight, and you can ask some questions, and we'll just talk more. So please come.
That sounds wonderful.
And I just want to say it's our honor to be sent by Crossroads Church over there. We're blessed to be servants to the people of India. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 said, "We do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake." And we are servants to the people of India, and you are sending us to be servants over there. And we're not big, important missionaries with all the answers. We're servants to the people of Israel, just as Paul was, Paul and Silas and Barnabas were servants to the people of Corinth and Ephesus and Macedonia and all the places they went to. And it's our privilege to be servants of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. Give it to you, Hannah. That's fantastic. Sit down. I'm just going to pray. Rick, y'all come on up. We just pray for y'all. Father, thank you for Rick and Colleen. And Lord, I'm so excited about what you're doing, our partnership, Lord, with them, and what you're doing there in India. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, you just put it on people's hearts to be involved, whether it be just starting to pray, God, and to open our hearts to that, to financially give, and Lord, to be willing to go, Lord, even if it's just for a week, and to be part of what you're doing, Lord, around the world. What a privilege it is, Lord, to be part of your go, your mission, Lord. Lord, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. To hear other messages or learn more about Crossroads Church, visit our website at ccaspen.com.